Lean forward slightly. Look straight at the speaker. And listen with a sparkle in your eye, as though you might be thinking, gee, this is the most wonderful thing I ever heard in all my life.
We interrupt this program to waste some of your valuable time.
Coming to you live from the KOUG studios at WSU Vancouver, it's TGIF Radio. This show is brought to you by the Internet, Electricity, and Mind Power. And now, with no agenda in mind, here's TGIF Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the highlight of your week. It is Friday. This is TGIF Radio. So goodbye to the work week and hello to the weekend. There is a reason. There usually is a reason why I play the songs as the intros for these shows. Sometimes I do it just because, and I'll let you know when that happens. But the reason for this one today is Shaun of the Dead became 10 years old this week.
Wow.
So I recommend that everybody go watch that in celebration. If you have or haven't watched it already, it doesn't matter. Just
go watch it. Go watch it again. If you haven't watched it, watch it and then finish the trilogy.
If you've watched it, we're very proud of you. And there is a trilogy. Look up the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy if you have no idea what we're talking about. Just go out and find that. If you dare, go ahead and call us. We are at 360-546-9500. Nobody ever calls us, and I don't think anyone ever will. But
except for when we go off the air, like last time.
Yeah, last time, this part was not recorded because it was at the very tail end of everything. We did actually get a phone call for suggestions on how to improve the Furstenberg Student Center.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really offer anything because I'd only ever been in there once before.
No, but if you guys obviously listening out there have any suggestions, be sure to let people know because they need suggestions, apparently. And
let's see. Today is a snack show, or more like a lunch show, because none of this counts as snacks because
fries maybe, but that's about it.
We got a sudden hankering for some foods about 15 minutes before the show was supposed to start, so we made a mad dash to go ahead and get us some things here. I am sampling a patty melt on some sourdough bread.
I just have your basic chicken strips and french fries.
And they're all quite tasty. If anybody, my sandwich came with a pickle, and I don't really want it, and neither does Drew, so if you want my pickle, come on down to the studio, and we'll figure something out. What's up with you, man?
That could have been taken bad. I think we should throw out there Renee does have a girlfriend, so don't take it that way.
No, I mean, everybody knows that, don't they?
Okay, I wasn't sure if we've, you know, thrown
that
out there.
Didn't that, happen to me, and I just started kind of singing at the top of my lungs, I've got a girlfriend, and then everybody was like, okay, we get it. That never happened, did it?
I don't think on the air, maybe what you do in your own private time is your business, but...
Well, now we've gone full circle. Everything is, everyone knows now.
Yeah.
All right. What up with you, though? Because you're all up in your suit and tie again, and you've got to go work that 30-hour week that we were talking about.
Yep. Today and tomorrow closes out my 30-hour week, and the next week I got 36 hours.
That is a major bummer.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the money's nice, but...
Money is always nice. But sometimes you wonder if what you're doing for the money is really worth it.
Yeah, and it usually isn't. But
speaking of money, Stephen Colbert, have you heard what he's doing?
Yeah, I heard about that.
He's going to take over The Late Show.
For Letterman, once Letterman leaves next year.
And I think it's going to be the most wonderful thing that has ever happened on TV. Well, top five, but you know.
Yeah, I don't
still
know.
Still a big deal.
I was initially skeptical, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah, he actually probably could do all right on it.
Oh, yeah, because if you watch his show and you see what he brings to the table every week, just limited to that one character that he does, imagine if he broke out of that character and could actually be himself.
And I've heard basically who he is in real life is the exact opposite of what he's like on the Colbert Report.
Oh, of course. Because on the Colbert Report, he's just like this really tied down, really radical pro-America guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure regular him realizes that America in itself is a little bit silly.
Yeah, we kind of are.
We need to learn to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, you have to laugh at yourself before you can laugh at other people, so.
Yeah, but people are jumping right to laughing at other people and still thinking that we're the greatest country in the world, which... Can I go out on a limb and say that we're not?
We have our moments where we're not.
we have our moments where we're not, or have we?
I don't think anybody's the greatest in the world or the better than, you know, we all do stupid stuff.
It's really hard to quantify which country would actually be the greatest in the world. I don't think that's something you can just figure out.
No, because obviously most countries are going to say our country.
Real? Oh, wait, even other countries?
Well,
They should pick some other country, not us.
Well, no, I'm just saying they're going to pick themselves.
Oh.
No, North Korea is going to obviously pick North Korea because, well, not North Korea.
Well,
because
North Korea is best Korea.
Is only Korea. And then obviously Russia, they're going to pick, you know, their country because they're afraid Putin's going to come knock, kick down their door if they say otherwise.
They're going to say, they're all going to vote for Russia, but the voter turnout rate is going to be 135%. So that's going to be, it's going to be unprecedented.
Yeah. I mean, overwhelming majority votes are probably going to go to Russians then.
Maybe, but I mean,
but then if we're going on popular vote, it's going to say China because they have the most voters.
How many people do you think Russia has? Russia's got a very strange thing where I think their ratio of land to people is really skewed.
Yeah, because it seems like majority of their people live on one end of the country or the other.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could give everybody that lives in Russia maybe 10 acres. Everybody just gets 10 acres and they can pan for gold or blow stuff up or
sell snow for the Olympics, something.
A snow farm. Oh,
they had to do the same thing Vancouver did. They had to buy snow for the Sochi Olympics.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That was a thing?
Yeah, they actually they didn't have enough snow at Sochi. They had to basically import some in from other parts of the country.
No, wait, but you said Vancouver. They did that for Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver had a similar problem. It was getting a little warm, so their snow was starting to melt. So, like, Alaska, Alberta, help us.
I heard something a little bit different about Russia, though, during Sochi. It wasn't that they went to other places to get the snow. It's that they already had the snow in storage. And then they just pulled it out and dumped it on Sochi's lawn. And they were like, there!
Well, regardless, they got snow from other sources. And it wasn't stuff all that fell from the sky that for that event.
No, that would have been impossible. Sochi was a bad place to pick for the Olympics.
Yeah, a summer resort town in Russia. I mean, this is all rhetorical. I mean, not rhetorical.
No, this actually happened.
Yeah, no, not rhetorical. It's in comparison to the rest of Russia, it's a summer town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about this? It's Russia's Florida.
I wouldn't go as far as say that. It's more like Russia's San Francisco.
Okay.
It can be warm. It can be kind of miserable.
San Francisco, I think, is warmer than Florida a lot, too.
In the spring and the fall, it's weird. In the summer and winter, it sucks. It's all overcast and cloudy and 65 degrees.
Yeah.
In the spring and summer, it's beautiful. It's like what we have outside, but like 75, 80 degrees sometimes.
Oh, man. Florida is just churning out all sorts of great stories for us. You have no idea. There was I watched a very interesting video the other day. Somebody in the middle of a McDonald's, of course, because this is where you do these kind of things.
Of course.
If you're going to have a mental breakdown, go to a public place with really crappy food. And then that way you can get national coverage and maybe you can get help. But in the middle of a McDonald's, a lady has a bipolar episode. She offers what I will refer to as favors to one of the employees. He refuses. And what do you think like the next step would be to take here? Would you either A, leave the store calmly and just accept your rejection like a lot of people do? Not everybody, but it is a choice that people make. Two, continue persecuting the employee even further. Maybe you can get a yes out of him, you know, because if you say no enough times,
eventually he'll say yes just to get you to shut up.
If you add up, if you multiply a bunch of negatives together, you might get a positive out of it.
Right.
She might be thinking of that thing. Or C, take off all your clothes except for your underwear and jump over the counter and drink directly out of the ice cream machine.
That does sound fun, but or I would try a different employee.
Oh yeah, that's option D. Well, you're wrong because the answer is C. Obviously, clothes removal. I mean, think about it.
It is the most logical, but I like being different. So,
think different. He said, found a company that seals off its technology from others. They said, I don't know. I've always wanted to drink from an ice cream machine. Will we ever get that chance? I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine I would do that if I, like, it was like my last day on the job at McDonald's. I would do that because I was like, you know, like you put in your 2 weeks on the last day of your 2 weeks that you're scheduled to, like, I don't care. I'm leaving in 15 minutes. I'm doing what I want.
Here's the scenario that I imagine. I work at a white collar company. And we decide to have a celebration happens, like the company gets bought or something,
mm-hmm.
and everybody gets a whole bunch of money. So that's awesome. And we rent an ice cream machine. And at like the end of the day, when no one's around and I'm the only one left in the building,
because you have to clean up or something,
I look right and left. Ain't nobody here. Stick my face under the nozzle. That's the sound of me drinking from an ice cream machine. It's also the sound of victory, because that's how I will feel when I drink from an ice cream machine. Victorious. And I probably wouldn't be able to do it for very long either.
Yeah, because eventually your mouth's going to fill up, because unless it's soft serve.
Oh, man, I probably wouldn't even get a mouthful in. I think...
Gag and choke on ice cream. That would suck.
Worst way or best way to die ever. It's a tough choice. I think the way that you get brain freeze, I'm not totally sure how brain freeze works. I know kind of what is happening when you get it, but what it takes to make it happen might vary from person to person.
Right.
I know for me that if I just have a whole bunch of ice cream in my mouth for too long of a period of time, I will most likely get brain freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens to me with popsicles, too. If I just hold a cold thing in my mouth for too long, I'm going to get brain freeze out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mass quantities all at once are going to cause problems for me. So I probably wouldn't even try to get a full mouthful in on the ice cream machine. Mm. If I did, I would probably regret it. I'm going to think back on this moment and remember, remember that time? Arbitrary amount of years ago where you dreamed of drinking from an ice cream machine. Well, now's your chance. But remember what youthful you said. You're going to get brain freeze out of this. Like, guaranteed, man. You should probably just get a cup of this stuff instead. But I want to live out my dream.
And then the other
part
of mine's like, nah, I'm good. And then does it anyways.
Nobody. Yeah, I'd probably end up. I would definitely not be the only person at the party doing
probably
this.
Probably not. No.
Everybody has this secret desire to drink from an ice cream machine, and they just don't realize it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hadn't realized it, but mine, if I was to drink out of any sort of horrible contraption that spews stuff that causes diabetes, it'd probably be like a chocolate fountain, you know, like they have at like weddings.
Ooh, yeah.
Just stick your head on over that, underneath that. Well, maybe not underneath it, but like where it spews up out of.
Oh, you mean you want it to be a chocolate geyser, and then it just goes right into your face instead of having to tilt your head
and then covering
your
face in chocolate? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because then that makes a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them have them where it shoots it up, you know, like, you know, 6 inches, and then it cascades over the top.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be pretty awesome.
I think...
just sit there with a straw.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I mean, I probably had an opportunity to do that once. I went to my uncle's house really long time ago, and for no reason in particular, there was a chocolate fountain there. And my dish of choice for that day was taking entire Rice Krispie treats and dunking them in this chocolate
pool. That's doing it right.
Yeah. But why didn't I go get a straw? I totally should have done that, because backwash is kind of hard to do with a straw, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why straws were invented, is to stop backwash.
Probably.
And it seems to work for me. I avoid backwash at all possible when I'm drinking anything
mm-hmm.
in the first place, because I don't want to look at my own things from my mouth floating in my own drink, because I don't want to drink that again.
Right.
I want it to be clean all the way through. And I think I can accomplish that. But straws, I think, were meant for people with not as much self-control.
Right.
And that's why they were made. And then crazy straws were made to, you know, make people feel not as silly when they were doing it, you know. Because if straws by themselves can be – so what straws by themselves are, they're devices to help you do something basic, right?
Right.
Kind of like a back brace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wearing a back brace, you realize that it's essential for this person to walk.
Right.
But it looks really –
or they've screwed themselves up in other ways.
Yeah, and it looks kind of silly. So – Maybe.
But you don't comment on it because, you know, that's
right.
You know, offensive or whatnot.
So with this knowledge now, whenever you see somebody drinking with a normal straw, then you're gonna judge them silently because you're gonna know that they can't drink properly. Every single unprotected sip that they take from your drink, they're leaving little flecks of food and their DNA in whatever you happen to be drinking that day. That he was taking a drink from his straw. Yes. We're emphasizing a point with auditory reinforcement. Yeah. Ah, man. Good word. Thank you. What was I saying? Oh, so pretty much what a crazy straw does to the normal straw is like it's making the person feel better about themselves for using a straw. Kind of like if you took that back brace I mentioned earlier and you put a whole bunch of pinwheels on it.
Right.
That would be fun. And
or bedazzled it or something.
Don't bedazzle your back
brace. If you're a girl, maybe.
I'm pretty sure bedazzling stopped being a thing as soon as it happened. As soon as the bedazzler came into being, nobody thought it was awesome.
Yeah, well, a couple people thought it was awesome from our generation, but that's about it.
Oh, I saw something horrible once. This wasn't in real life. This was a picture of the internet. As how that's how I experience most things, honestly.
Right.
But which isn't what's been happening over the past couple days. I'll tell you in a bit. But I saw a picture of somebody who had bedazzled their MacBook Pro.
I've seen that, I think.
You've seen it? Okay, for those of you who haven't seen this, it's a MacBook Pro, and they have jewels all around the edge of the screen. Well, when you put those jewels on the bottom edge of the screen, what MacBook Pros like to do when they close is just be completely flush with the keyboard.
Right.
It's all flat and snug and tight there. So when you put a little obstruction in there, like a bunch of really tacky plastic jewels, it's going to crack your screen. And
right.
That's what this poor teenager did, which I don't know if a teenager should even have a MacBook.
Yeah.
If
or you're, a bedazzler.
If you, no.
That's the more serious thing right there.
It really is, because they can use the bedazzler to damage other things. And if you think bedazzling is cool, you might not be emotionally mature enough to have a MacBook anyway. So, or using the internet for that matter.
Yeah.
Let's just expand the definition here.
Yeah.
I mentioned I was experiencing things outside of the internet.
Right.
This is true. I rode my bike 2 days in a row.
To where?
Nowhere in particular.
Oh, just around.
Well, on Wednesday, I rode it around the lake, mm-hmm. all the way down to the river and back to my house.
Okay.
I think altogether that might have come around to, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles?
Not bad.
Maybe? I don't know if I'm giving myself too much credit here. and then yesterday, I went to Lindsay's house and I borrowed her brother's bike, and her and I went around a park and invaded a couple neighborhoods that weren't ours, and found a smaller river and threw rocks in it.
Nice. So
that was fun. I did something cool when I was on that bike ride, too. I want to show you it and get your opinion on this. This is something that I've been doing for a couple years. It's really useless, but it looks cool. I call them rock stacks, and
oh,
you can
yeah.
probably
yeah.
get what that is from. But you've seen that picture that I posted?
I saw your picture, yeah, and I was saying, I've done stuff like that too, actually.
I will describe this to the audience. Maybe I'll put a link up in the show notes or something. But what I did, I found a log, I stuck it in the ground, and then on top of that rock, I balanced a whole bunch of rocks. Mm-hmm. And what you probably should have gotten that from me saying rock stack. Like, if you
right.
didn't, I don't know what to say. You should probably graduate high school first before listening to this show. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 9 or 10 rocks.
Mm-hmm.
More like 9.5, because I had to use, like, some pieces of rocks to kind of wedge into
right.
other ones. But when you look at it, it looks like a pretty cool balancing structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done stuff like
I've
that
before? I've done summer ones, yeah. When we go to Lower Falls, which is usually one of our August camping trips,
mm-hmm.
It's a really pretty campground, but I'm not going to get into that. Or I don't know.
You could. I mean, it doesn't
I could. We'll do that maybe later for summer. I don't know.
Oh, like you're going to go
summer
there?
Tip. Oh, yeah, we will for summer probably, but no, as in giving people summer tips to places to go to.
Okay, cool.
Anyways, but no, there we would like make like these little stacks where they'd, you know, we'd find like a flatter rock, because the river, you can pretty much walk straight from your campsite to wherever you're camping at to the river towards the falls within 5 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're literally right on top of them, practically.
You can't really see them from the campsite, though?
No, but you can definitely hear them.
Awesome. That's
but
cool.
But usually most of the campsites have little trails that go out of them to lead straight towards the river or the falls.
Okay.
There's an area that's kind of a little shallow bit of river before the falls, so you don't want to get caught in the current and just float down the river, because eventually you go off 100-foot falls.
Well,
and that's bad. Oh, okay, maybe not 100.
Bring a barrel with you. You'll be fine.
I actually saw kayakers go off the falls once intentionally. That didn't end well.
Couple hundred feet?
No, not a couple hundred feet. Two kayakers, I think it's like about an 80-foot drop.
80? Oh, man, 80 feet, I can't eat. No, not in a kayak.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That, yeah.
How did they land? I mean, they just...
Pretty much just hit with the nose of the kayak and came floating back up.
Jeez.
Maybe
one day when I have an expendable income to replace my legs, but...
And your face when...
Just all parts of my body.
If you do what one of the guys did. One of the guys actually bit through his bottom lip.
Oh! Oh, man.
Like, he hit the water and just bit down and, yeah, literally teeth on teeth through the lip. And it's about 2-hour drive to the hospital, so...
Oh! That's the worst part, I think.
Yeah, so basically, there was a group of different various campers watching this, and so they just have their very basic remedies of first aid. You know, you're putting bandages and, you know, gauze, man, and that kind of stuff over.
It's a very unique injury. It's hard to treat, like, right on the spot. Let the pros do that. But you stacked rocks down there?
Yeah, we would stack rocks up. We would have, like, two columns and then, like, a flat piece across the top of those two, like, three rocks high. Flat piece, and maybe like a single stack of another rock or two, and then another flat piece that goes horizontal, and then like one on top of that.
Okay, that sounds a little bit more structured than mine. My goal really is to find the most irregularly shaped rocks and get them to balance on top of each other.
Right.
It looks a little bit more weird and abstract that way, and it's not an art piece in any way.
No.
But it, I don't know. It's just a fun thing to do. And until that day, I hadn't stacked them on top of a log before.
Oh, yeah. Never done on top of a log.
So that was just a new thing for me. And that was, I don't really know if I should call that a log. I mean, it was sitting on the side of the beach, so maybe, yeah. But it was obviously some sort of 4x4 in its past life. So it might have been cheating, but it still looks awesome.
Yeah.
It was cool. And I do kind of plan on making this whole bike riding thing a regular thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good exercise.
Because I think we can both acknowledge I've been neglecting exercise for a bit, and biking's good.
Yeah, no.
Isn't it like a full body sort of
thing? For the most part, yeah.
I mean, I might have to do other things, but I probably won't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it does legs and cardio, and I think it does something with your core.
I'm going to be doing exercise, but I'm going to be lazy when it comes to the exercise that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm biking, but I don't really want to do push-ups. I don't need them. I'm fine. And then I'm just going to end up with, like, these huge, bulgy Arnold Schwarzenegger legs.
And then, you know, nothing, you know, for upper body.
Well.
Super disproportionate.
I'm going to try and even that out.
Right.
I'm planning on investing in a hand bike. It's where you pedal with your hands.
Okay.
That is total BS.
Okay.
I made that up.
Okay. I was just thinking like one of those, like the bike machines, the workout machines, where you move your hands back and forth and also pedal with the bike.
Actually, well, you know what I could do? I could start canoeing again.
Yeah.
I still got that one in the backyard, so I can pull that out sometime.
Yeah.
It might have bees living in it, though.
Bees?
Beads.
Bees?
It bees, though.
I know.
For real. I mean, because that happened to me. The last time, no, I don't know if it was the last time, but at some point we took that canoe out and we did a swamp test on it. For those of you who don't know, that is intentionally sinking the canoe to make sure that it floats. Because usually they have some sort of styrofoam in them that keeps them buoyant if that does happen. Not really buoyant because it's still like halfway down in the water, but
keeps it above the surface.
You just don't want it at the bottom of the lake.
Right.
And these prevent that. We swamp tested it, and pretty much immediately after we took it back out of the water, wasps just started flying out of the back end. Yeah. It wasn't that many. There was maybe like 5 or 6 wasps. Because I've never seen a wasp nest much bigger than the size of a bouncy ball. You know? Have you?
Yeah.
Where?
We on our deck, you know, before we enclosed some of the roof supports,
they were hanging out in those corners.
Yeah, the corners are in the gaps that are probably about an inch and a half gap. They used to always go up in there and make nests.
Awesome.
So my dad would always have to go out there with broom handle, whack them, and run inside.
Have you ever been stung by a bee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you've confirmed yourself as not allergic, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get puffy, but that's about it.
Isn't
sting gets puffy, but...
Isn't it weird that's really one of the only ways to confirm whether or not you're allergic to bees?
Yeah.
Just go get stung, and if you swell up like a balloon, well, I guess you're allergic.
Yeah. No, remember I was telling the story about how one flew into my soda once?
Yeah, yeah.
There was that, and another time one flew up my shorts, stung me 4 times in the leg.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's just a wasp, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been stung by a wasp, but I have been stung by a bee.
Mm.
And luckily, only once in my life.
That's pretty good.
And that's kind of strange considering the karma that I've gathered against bees.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I remember this, and thinking back on it now, I should not have been doing this. But as a small child, I would often find bees in my backyard and squish them intentionally. And not even with rocks or anything.
With your foot?
No, it was more barbaric than that. I had a torture device. Like it was something from like one of those kits that you give little kids, like a toy construction set, you know? And one of the things that was in it was like a really clunky pair of tweezers.
Okay.
Except It looked more like those salad tongs, you know, that are stuck together,
yeah.
Except it's really small, yellow, maybe about like 4 or 5 inches long, and you can grab them together like tongs, and you can use them to pick up dead animals and
so
things
use
like
it
kids
like,
do.
Basically chop them in half with it?
No, well, the bee would be like on the flower when it was most vulnerable, and then I would take the squishy thing and come up behind it and just get it like that.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, bees were evil.
Yeah.
You know? Like they were the children of Satan flying around the yard waiting for an unsuspecting child to expose some skin, and then that's when it would strike.
I'm just picturing you out there, you know, out in your yard with these little tongs and like, you know, full pants, long sleeve turtleneck with like a ski mascot so that you don't have any skin showing to get stung.
No, I mean, that's not exactly what I was thinking.
Like a little burglar ninja do with your little tongs.
It's not totally accurate because I didn't have a ski mask as a child. But that's what I did to bees when I was a small kid, and I don't know how they like haven't hunted me down from that point.
They have a wanted poster hung up in their beehive with your picture on it.
So and the announcements are, they don't even, it's not like the bee movie either. They just they just sound like and that's bee language for the large pink human must be destroyed. That's how World War B was started. And now I feel really guilty about that whole thing because of the whole colony collapse thing that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't...
You feel like you're semi-responsible
for it. I don't want to feel that way, but I mean, I can't help but do that.
Yeah. No, I would do the same kind of thing with like garter snakes. Occasionally.
You had that many garter snakes?
No, not at my house. Like when I was up at Ben's house, you know.
Oh, yeah. He'd have a lot.
Yeah, he had a lot because he has a lot of property.
Yeah.
But like we would always go wandering around his field and the woods and that kind of stuff. And so we'd go take a step and all of a sudden I'd see one slither past my feet, like right where I was about to step. And so I would like take 3 steps back, grab a rock and like throw it on the thing's head.
Oh, man. That's hardcore.
I hate snakes. Even more so back then because I was just like, nah. Especially though it's just startle you. They just come out of nowhere.
I'm pretty sure I had a snake pee on me once. I've had two.
So I'm surprised that I haven't been like bitten by some sort of poisonous snake and died, if your theory is correct.
Huh. Well, I mean, I don't know. If I ever had the chance to handle a poisonous snake, I would do it, but I would definitely need a professional with me that knows what he's doing.
Obviously you're not gonna be like, oh, hi snake, how's it going?
I'm not picking up a rattler by myself. No. Jeez. I've had two interesting experiences with snakes. Pretty much the only encounters that I've ever had with snakes in my entire life. So I guess that means if I find snakes more in the future, I'm gonna have more fun. But anyway, so the first time I ever encountered a snake, this was probably in like third grade. There was a guy going around to various elementary schools, and he was bringing, like, his miniature animal circus with him.
Reptile Man.
Is that what he was called?
Oh, I don't know. Remember. There was one that would go to my school occasionally for primary school, and he would have a bunch of reptiles. He had a little alligator, some snakes, etc.
I don't remember if he was just the Reptile Man.
Oh.
But the big act that everybody wanted to see this guy do was at the very end of the show. I don't remember what kind of snake this is. We're going to have to look it up later, but it was a gigantic yellow snake.
Giant yellow boa constrictor. I think it was the same guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, some giant, like a 12-foot
long. Did he let kids hold it?
Yeah, I think he let kids hold it or pet it or whatnot. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think this was the same guy. I think we just called him the Reptile Man.
But tell me if he did it this way. So he would get like maybe 10 or 15 kids, because mm-hmm. that's how many you needed to hold the snake up. Oh, yeah, I think
it's probably 12 feet long.
Big snake. He would put them all at the front of the stage, and he would ask the kids which end they wanted to hold of the snake.
Yeah.
And him being this great prankster, he decided that the kid who asked for the tail would get the head of the snake.
Right.
And I got to watch this act twice, because I got to see it once when I was in school, and I watched him do the old switcheroo, and I was like, oh, you're tricky. I see what you're doing here.
So you asked for the head.
So when I saw the act for the second time at my Cub Scout meeting, I went and asked for the head, and he didn't do the switcheroo. He gave me the head.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this was the first snake that I had ever touched, and it was a gigantic yellow boa constrictor that, in my mind, I was thinking if it was just me holding this, it would swallow me within about 5 minutes, because I was that small back right. then, and it was a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Just get that out of the way. And it was really weird, because holding the snake's head and having it looking at me and stuff, and then looking away and watching the tongue go in and out, it was really freaky for maybe about the first minute and a half. But then eventually I just started going, well, if it hasn't bitten me yet and I'm not inside of its stomach at this point, I don't really think it's going to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't see what the big deal is. So any fears that I could have had of snakes at that point were squashed immediately.
Yeah, no, I've never really liked snakes. I've never really had a bad experience with them. It's just something about them is always giving me the heebie-jeebies.
It's probably the way they feel, you know?
Partially.
The way they
feel and the way they move and all everything about them just kind of
They've got a very strange texture to them, you know? Like it shouldn't be touching you, but you can't really kind of stop rubbing it. Mm-hmm. It's not something you will want your car seat to be made out of.
No.
But
then people get like snakeskin jackets and...
Oh, and snakeskin... What is the point of that?
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't seem like a particularly like a tough material, you know?
But if that's all you had on hand, then...
Yeah, because before I realized how they made snakeskin things,
mm-hmm.
that's really hard to say, surprisingly, I thought that the way that they made those things was just finding the shedded skin of snakes. And just like cutting that open and then stitching it all together. And 8-year-old me was going, that's a really crappy way to make shoes. It would take forever to like, you might as well just stick to sandals at that point.
Right.
There's just no way. My second experience with snakes, it peed on me. I mentioned that earlier, but it was a little garter snake, just a tiny one. Randomly found it in one of my friend's backyards, and we're just screwing around with it, and we're handing it off to each other. Whoa, a snake! Because we don't really live somewhere that normally gets snakes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why there aren't that many out here, but I bet if I lived in like Atlanta or something, I'd have them in my backyard all the time.
This is just not much food in town, so.
Yeah, maybe not. Although, Oh boy, I got a lot of wildlife stories, I just realized, but we found the snake, and I held it for a little bit too long, and I think it was just getting too freaked out by these kids, and it expelled some sort of liquid on my hand, which we don't really know if it was pee.
Yeah, you just assume.
We just assume it was because of how bad it was, and the vague kind of color that it had to it had the color of that water that you get on top of your mustard before you shake it.
Okay.
It was about that, but it smelled like slightly diluted skunk smell. It was pretty horrid. It would not wash out of my hands. It took many applications of Purell and various household cleaners to get rid of that smell.
Yeah,
it was awful. No, but you were saying there might just not be as much food for snakes?
I wouldn't think so, because like out like in the hills or in the fields, there's a lot more bugs and mice and whatnot for snakes to eat. I mean, garden snakes don't eat mice, obviously, but you know, you got to go.
They could if they tried.
Probably. You just got to go where the food's at, and there isn't nearly as much food in town, so it doesn't make much sense to stay there.
Yeah, I think it's got to do with location, really. Because we have fields here, yeah, but I don't really think mice are going to want to live in a raspberry field. Because that's mostly what we have is like raspberries And yeah, they might like the berries, sure, but they really want that cheese though. That's what they're after. They're not gonna find that in our fields.
No.
But I've seen coming out of work, you know that field kind of between us and the storage place?
Right.
On the other side of it. I saw it was definitely an owl. I'm not sure what owl, but it was just gliding around that field for I watched it for what had to have been 15 minutes, and it was just looking for stuff in that field. It never landed or anything. Hmm. So I just don't think there are mice there. I think we've just scared all the mice away.
Probably.
And we're just not going to get snakes up here, which is kind of a shame because I think snakes are cool.
Mm.
I know you don't like them. I'm not gonna like put one in your car or anything, but I think snakes are awesome.
Okay.
But I don't know if I would want one as a pet, though. No. Like, do you ever, you kind of wonder about people who have snakes as pets.
I wonder that about a lot of animals as pets. But
really?
Some people, yeah.
You ever heard of a sugar glider?
No.
It's a weird little rodent. It looks like that. Apparently, there's actually kind of a semi-decent market for these things. Hmm. And they're pretty much just like downsized squirrels that can get really attached to people.
Yeah. Well, it's like the whole miniature pig thing that people get as pets.
Oh, yeah, the teacup pigs?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get it at all.
Oh, man, they're a lady magnet. Come on. Don't you know? You haven't seen that episode of How I Met Your Mother, have you?
I haven't seen any episodes of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay. Don't watch the finale.
I've heard it's horrible.
Don't anybody watch the finale unless they want to be really mad because it...
Is it like show ruining? Like it ruins the rest of the show for you?
Well, it's the finale, so it can't ruin the rest.
Well, if you were to go back and rewatch the series, would it like...
Oh.
Having seen the end, would it ruin the rest of the series?
No, I don't think it would do that. Because
sometimes that happens. You know, you have something at the end and you're like, okay, now I can never watch this again because it's... that's always going to be in my mind.
Like shows that end with the finale being a dream. Like, I can't really think of a show that's done. Does Lost count?
I don't know.
Lost
has a lot of different possible theories. Some people say it was they all died and that's them in purgatory, basically.
Yeah.
That's one theory I've heard.
A deserted island is purgatory?
Yeah, and they got to pay for their sins and then they get to go to heaven.
Deserted island's not so bad.
No,
I mean, but
purgatory isn't supposed to be this horrible place. It's kind of the halfway. It's the halfway house between heaven and hell, kind of theoretically.
Oh, well, that's Earth, dude.
Wait, yeah. So specifically, that's why they say. That's why some people that say ghosts is just people living in purgatory.
Oh,
that's because one theory for feasibility of ghosts, if you believe.
No,
in
but
such
that's kind. That's kind of screwed up. If Earth actually is purgatory.
Yeah.
It's really pessimistic, and I probably shouldn't have put that idea in people's heads. Don't kill yourselves.
Yeah, no.
Because should probably find like the suicide hotline number now. Just
yeah,
because I'm sure it would activate some sort of existential crisis in somebody.
Probably.
I mean, I activate those in my head all the time, just like thinking about space.
Yeah,
like I'm watching
how small we all are.
I'm watching Cosmos, and when Neil deGrasse Tyson starts talking about when he starts talking about light years, like it just it messes with me.
All right,
they're huge. I can't even believe it sometimes. Space is awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody go watch Cosmos. Seth MacFarlane has not ruined it. Like, there's not even a trace of him in the show.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But,
everybody watch it. I don't know. It's kind of a... Yeah. I call him Neil deGrasse Calrissian because he has a spaceship, okay?
Yeah. And he looks kind of like Lando.
A little bit. I mean, he's got to be a little bit skinnier and he's got to get a cape, but he could totally go as him for Comic-Con.
Right.
Which, has he not been to a Comic-Con?
I don't know.
I just have never heard of him going to one. Neil deGrasse.
I just was thinking, you were talking about the what I call the Reptile Man, or what I knew as the Reptile Man.
Yeah.
One time he came to our school, he actually did have a little alligator.
Ooh.
And I was sitting about four rows back from the group, because there was the younger kids up front, obviously, because the big kids could see over him.
Uh-huh.
And the alligator started peeing on the floor. And automatically, once that started, like, the first three rows all of a sudden started coming back as quick as they could. They're, like, scooting across the floor because we were just sitting on the floor.
Oh, so was this, like, a school assembly or did you go from classroom to class?
No, it was, like, an assembly.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, all the front rows started scooting back as quick as they could. And he's like, oh, okay, back in the box.
Were most of the kids laughing?
Yeah. Okay. Well, most of the kids that weren't in the first two rows.
That's good. I love how kids can, like, pull humor out of a situation where they could be dying.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily from alligator pee, but, you know, if somebody was holding that alligator and it started peeing and they drop it.
And it gets, yeah, I was thinking that. It gets mad and turns into Mr. Feral Cat that got kicked.
Oh, yeah. There's an absolute possibility.
Yeah.
I don't think the guy had alligators on his show, though.
Probably not.
So, and he probably wouldn't have let us hold them.
Yeah, either. No. They didn't let us hold alligators, obviously. He held it and showed us all alligator.
Oh, and that's why I brought up the sugar gliders. The other thing about sugar gliders is we were talking about wondering about people who have certain exotic animals as pets.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about sugar gliders is there actually is a problem that's arising with them being overbred to be used as pets.
Yeah.
They're prone to seizures. Like, they can just randomly get seizures.
I'm sorry, that would be kind of funny to see a little bit. In a very sick, horrible sense, it would be a little funny to see this little tiny thing having a seizure and then get up and be just fine.
If you lived through it, you'd feel better about laughing about it.
If
but
it died, you'd feel horrible.
No, I'm listening to a podcast where one of the tech guys for the show bought two sugar gliders for himself, and one of them did have a seizure. Mm. And apparently that's actually a pretty big problem. And I'm not sure what the return policy is for exotic animals, but I hope he gets something out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing about people that own snakes is I can see the appeal of owning a snake, but a poisonous snake.
Yeah, no.
That is a little that's a little screwy to me.
Yeah.
I would not have a rattlesnake in my house.
I don't see the point or the appeal.
And we've heard stories like this before.
Oh,
where,
yeah.
Like a guy gets bit by his rattlesnake, and then there was this guy in Chicago. What was it? Like 2011, I think? Like he let out all these exotic animals that he had because you needed no permits to have exotic animals. No, it wasn't Chicago. I'm wrong.
Texas, probably.
No, I think it was Ohio, actually. Okay. I'm not sure why Ohio got into that for the news. I mean, they never get into the news for anything else.
Not usually.
They get out for this. He had apparently like a couple tigers, a few bears, maybe a lion or two, antelopes.
He had his own basically private zoo going.
Yeah, and he just one day let them all out, and he shot himself. And he let everybody else deal with trying to gather up all these animals and how they dealt with gathering all these animals was shooting the animals. Because
that sounds like it would be Texas, though, quite honestly.
Yeah, I'm surprised it isn't, but I'm pretty sure. I don't remember what that, like, what do I Google to make this come up?
I don't know.
Lets out animals and kills himself. Yeah. Ohio man turns wild animals loose, kills self. Yeah, this happened October of 2011.
Wow.
I cannot believe I remembered that much of this.
Yeah.
Usually we just forget stories like this, you know?
Well, I thought I had heard some sort of story, but I mean, I'm sure this is a repeated story because you can't have tigers as a pets in Texas. They're like some guy got his face mauled by his pet tiger.
Yeah, not surprised.
No. You deserve it if you had a tiger as a pet. It comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Like people with cats get, you know, furniture clawed up or hairballs.
Speaking of stories that people are just forgetting about, I kind of want the Flight 370 to just be left alone already.
You want it to disappear?
It's in my backyard. I've been covering it with a tarp and several canoes and bicycles. They make excellent cover. My address is... No. my address is 100 Fake Street, 90210. Did I ever tell you that's an autocorrect option for me?
No.
Apparently, at one point in time when I was filling out information for some sort of online service, I used the address 100 Fake Street, 90210.
Yeah.
And now it pops up whenever I start typing in addresses. But about Flight 370, it's gone.
Yeah.
Stop looking for it.
Well, they just need to find it just so they can find 200 floating dead bodies.
It's been so long
since
it's been gone. We're spending so much money looking for it.
We're not so much. I mean, we are spending some money, but...
I'm pretty sure there is a window of time where people are most likely to survive.
Oh, no, they already know everybody's dead.
And they... Yeah, so when you cross a certain threshold, you just should not look anymore because you're wasting time and resources and getting everyone's hopes up.
Yeah, well, I think right now they're just looking forward to figure out what happened and find the dead bodies.
Yeah.
So they can return them to, well, I'm not even sure you'd want to return them to the families because...
Well, you don't want them to look at them, that's for sure.
No, I was going to say, after a month of being dead, like, that's not going to be pretty.
They better
floating in the ocean.
They better refer to dental records instead. Yeah. I mean, that just...
Although, if the body start decomposing, there's just going to be a lot of teeth floating around.
And teeth don't... I don't think they just fall out like that, though.
Well, if the gums dissolve.
Did they just pop out?
They could. Is it? I mean, a month of stuff eating away at their flesh.
I thought they were, like, fairly wedged in there once you get, like a healthy adult tooth.
That's true.
I
That's true, because they do find skulls that have been buried for hundreds of thousands of years that still have a couple teeth in them.
Maybe if, like, I don't know, like, if the elements were being particularly rough to them,
you
might
true.
Just not find
parts. Yeah, they're going to have to go with dental records, quite honestly.
Or other bits. I mean, is there another way to verify body identity besides dental records? Like, is there another DNA. Bone they can look at?
Bone marrow. DNA.
Oh, bone marrow. That's not...
Extract DNA from that.
Yeah. If it lasts long enough.
Usually it does.
I mean, I don't know how tight of a seal bones are, really. I mean, they are actually porous.
Yeah.
So that might affect...
But it's not just going to wash away all the DNA inside the bones.
No, that's not quite how science works.
No. Maybe on CSI, but not in the real world.
Maybe. Well, in CSI, they also have two people typing on the same keyboard, and that counts as hacking. Have you ever seen that video?
I don't think... I'm sure I've seen a clip of it, but...
It's, oh, man. I'm pretty sure it's CSI Miami.
Which is probably...
Or,
yeah.
I don't know. There's too many CSIs, but it's the one with the... It's got the one chick in it that, like, she's supposed to be the hacker, and she's got, like, the weird punk hair with the... It's kind of like if Ramona Flowers only had black hair. It's kind of what her hair is. And she's supposed to be, like, the hacker of the group, and there's one point where, oh, no, I'm getting hacked, and, like, some dude's with her, and he's like, whoa, this is crazy. Let me help you. And they start typing on the same keyboard, one hand per person, to stop this
how does
hack.
I know that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a competition between TV studios. This is a legit
who can do the most ridiculous scene.
It's exactly like that.
Or how far can they push the boundaries of realism?
No, I think it's just tech jokes mostly.
Yeah.
They're like,
I have no idea what's going on. Let's just see how much we can make up and get away with.
Yeah. I mean, it's because people just say the most just BS things and people buy it too.
Oh, because who watches network TV cop shows?
I don't know. I'm not a TV executive.
No, I'm just saying, what group do you think would honestly watch it?
Old people?
Yeah. Retired people that don't know nothing about computers.
I don't know. Some younger people watch some CSI.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
And it's a shame that they don't know how computers work. Yeah. I mean, why haven't they figured this crap out already?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know. If people start throwing out tech terms, I'm just going to go, okay, what does that mean?
I mean, I can layman some terms for you.
Right.
You know? But you shouldn't... I just don't think you should be spreading misinformation like
no.
that. We're going to look back on it and just go, wow, these TV directors were real jerks because they were spreading all this false information.
Anyways.
Yeah, you got to go for the accurate stuff here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a show on right now. It is a tech-oriented show, and so far it's the best use of tech that I've seen on TV so far. In terms of realism and the terms that are used, everything so far feels like grounded and plausible and real to me. The show's called Silicon Valley. It's on HBO.
Okay.
Oh, crap. What's that guy's name? I don't remember his name, but one of my favorite people, Kumail Nanjiani's in it. If for nothing else, watch it for him because he's a hilarious dude. But pretty much, guy makes a music program, and in his music program, like while he's making it, he makes an algorithm that makes music files have really high quality but be really small at the same time. Now that's and that's actually what they're saying in the show,
right. And
that it's a real thing that would actually be a big deal in the real world, and it makes sense to watch it.
Right.
They're not spouting gibberish at you. And I don't think they really have so far. I haven't caught anything yet.
Yeah.
There's only one episode out, but I'm planning on sticking with this for at least the first season and seeing if it stays technically accurate. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, because you really shouldn't judge a show entirely on its pilot.
No, definitely not. It was a good pilot, though. I liked it. They make fun of Google a lot in it. They made up a company called Hooli that's supposed to be exactly it's supposed to be pretty much like Google.
Yeah.
But they have a guy that's like a dumbed down Steve Jobs at the head of the company. So he wears pretty much the same things as Steve Jobs.
So a black turtleneck and some ratty jeans.
Yeah, and he's got like a fairly intense personality and is kind of full of himself too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty nice show. And I wanted to find a clip of this guy to try and maybe give some sort of idea of the humor in mm-hmm. the show, because it does work for me. You don't have to be technically minded to get this thing. I think it works great, and I just found the clip that I wanted, and I think we are going to hear it for posterity, because you don't exactly need to watch it. So hopefully this gets you interested in this show.
It's weird. They always travel in groups of five.
These programmers. There's always a tall, skinny white guy,
short, skinny Asian guy, fat guy with a ponytail, some guy with crazy facial hair, and then an East Indian guy. It's like they trade guys until they all have the right group.
You clearly have a great understanding of humanity.
I don't know. I love it.
Yeah,
check it out if you can.
Maybe
it's kind of, but you're in the middle of True Detective right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, which yeah,
which you if do, you guys do you aren't love watching it? It,
watch it. Okay. I mean, obviously, it's only for people who have intelligence and actually can pay attention to a whole thing without there being explosions and gunfights and car chases every minutes.
Don't even get me started on those people, because we don't have time.
No, okay. If Transformers was your favorite movie of whatever year they came out, you will hate this show.
Oh, man, just so much.
Yeah.
Very detail-oriented, minimal explosions.
It's a lot of talking. There's literally almost – there's only, like, one real gunfight scene so far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically – it's supposed to be very smart and gritty, and it's a lot of talking, basically. So if you're not into that sort of thing, pass it by and let the intelligent people watch it.
Yeah. And another thing I like about it is It's a little bit. It's set in a slightly older time,
right? It's like 95.
It's not modern, definitely not. No. But they still have cell phones, don't they?
They have one scene where they have a cell phone, but you know,
it's a big one.
It's one of those big. It's not a brick, but it's still pretty large.
Okay.
And one of the characters has to explain to one of the other ones how it works, basically.
Oh,
because people didn't have. Everybody didn't have cell phones, so they didn't know what it was, because your regular phone rang, you just picked it up to answer. You didn't have to push a button.
I don't remember that scene. That probably means I'm going to have to start rewatching the show.
It's episode four.
Episode four, yeah. But very, very interesting show, and I guess those are our recommendations that we're bestowing upon the masses now.
Watch True Detective.
Yeah, do it. Let's see. Go ahead and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TGIFradio. We're also TGIF Radio on Twitter. Email us things, because you're not and we want you to, at TGIFradioshow@gmail.com. All past episodes and subscription links for RSS and iTunes can be found on TGIFradio.com. There was something else I wanted to promote that I forgot. Anything you want
to
say?
Two things. Obviously, shout out to the bookie, or the guy in the bookie.
Oh, this is what.
And the second thing is the once per episode reminder that hoverboards need to happen.
They're coming September 2015.
Party on.
Are we saying they need to happen or they're coming?
Either one.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
We just need to remind people about hoverboards.
As long as we mention it, it counts. Yes. All right. We'll be back next week. Party on, everyone. Enjoy the sun.